The grace and peace of Jesus be with you all. Here's a word from the edge of the abyss. Nice place to be hanging out. Hosea 4:1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. The misery grows within the bodies and minds and souls of the inhabitants of the earth. We can see that quite readily. Wrath is running from the cup of heaven, and a noxious contagion has spread like a fire in dry grass and a high wind across the entire world. The earth lies infected by the virus of its own lusts and perversions and insanity. Blind and ignorant, it gropes for the walls. It seems the sand is at the bottom of the hourglass, the tipping point being reached. With no honor does the world which lieth in wickedness crawl on its hands and knees in the ashen excrement that was once its vain prosperity. A fever of despair grows even hotter. The world is bowed low. It is bowed low on account of the one whose long suffering for the world has all but ceased. It has been written, and it has gone out from his lips, and it shall not return, and it is done. The Lord God still speaks to a few. The Lord God will speak to only a few. Though his call go out across every land and into every ear, only a few, called out of the many, out of the whole, will be chosen by God to the great hope of salvation. Today the words of the Ancient of Days are heard saying, I will destroy your high places, I will cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. Nice. For we are a world void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock hath founded them? Our Lord Jesus Christ is our rock and cornerstone, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. And on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Jesus said that, Matthew 21:44. And the air is filling with the dust of this powder today. This rock, Jesus Christ, is not the foundation upon which our nation and world is built. For their rock is not our rock. Our enemies judge themselves, for their vine is of the branch of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their fruits are bitter, though they call them sweet, Isaiah 5:20. The wine of their prosperity is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps, Deuteronomy 32:33. Hasn't this been laid up in store for God's wrath and sealed up for judgment? The saints, elect of the living God, are shut up with him. God has shut them up with him in his Christ, the rock, even Jesus, his son. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. I didn't know dead could feel so good, huh? How about you? says the Lord God in Deuteronomy 32, 35, and 36, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people, and he will say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? And after witnessing the emptying and wasting plagues, violence, and sorrows being visited upon our nation and the world, many of God's servants do despair of any hope for them who willingly choose a way that seems right. The world withers under the burden of judgment. Luke 17:10. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And to them calling themselves servants, are servants worthy in and of themselves because of their abilities, because of their choice to become teachers? Or are they called and counted worthy by the potter who fills them and moves them? Are these the self-worthy servants we heed today? I hope not. If a servant of the living God to God's saints cannot say, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes, he will not see his reward with Christ for his servitude. He will see blackest darkness. And only the Lord our God will recompense this, not his few true servants. Let the wolves be the wolves. Our servants are wicked, and these wicked boast of their heart's desire and bless the covetous whom the Lord abhors. And in the desecrated temples which are called churches lives the spirit of the great harlot, Jezebel. A lot of demons go to church, brethren. A lot of demons preach, too. But alas, has not a sovereign God created vessels fitted for wrath? We do not dare condemn our God for the results of his foreordination. Are you kidding? We praise our God who has opened the eyes of a few, including you. We glorify our God who will ultimately draw all eyes, both saved and damned, to his face. It has been written and declared. Meantime, the meek and humble saints endure the hypocrisy and the wilderness of this life. Saints, your hearts will tell you who is who and who is true and what is true. Having the mind of Christ has that effect on his saints. So we don't despair. We live in Christ. We hope in Christ. And we take the crap. Today is our nakedness being uncovered. Our shame is now seen. He will take vengeance because he has spoken it. God will not meet any as a man, but in terrible and holy wrath. We are being cast aside now as a potter's shards, helpless to change his will, helpless to rebuild ourselves. I'm not speaking about the saints. As God said in the past, for this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. Nakedness, shame. No, we do not have any more time. As far as I can see and feel and hear, time has run out. And we can now watch judgment from our windows and on our televisions and computer monitors, and we can listen to the world's dismay and despair and wretched doctrines of false hope over our radios and other communication devices. But the best place to see and hear this is in our hearts. Saints of God are effectively unplugged from the matrix of this illusory reality. The Lord has said, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle. Jeremiah 8:6. Well, these things were just for old Jerusalem. These things were just for old Israel. They're quite effective today. And they're quite relevant today. This is exactly what's... There's nothing new under the sun. History repeats itself. Now we've got scripture to tell us where we're going wrong and where we're going right in these last days. It is virtually impossible to turn a horse or a man when committed to a particular course, for we all reach a point of no return from which there's no going back. And the gravity of our pride and lust drags us headlong deeper into the abyss. And as it does, we can hear God's words behind us, you know, thin and barely audible as the wind rushes past our deafened ears. And the Lord says, thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore, I will stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. Our demise is sure, and it is upon the whole world. Be ashamed, America. Whether you admit it or not, you are ashamed. And your enemies despise you as you despised them. The enemies of the cross shall swallow you whole. When your mighty arms are broken by the will of God and your shields and swords drop from your hands, you will consider the fall of great empires as just a spat between children compared to the fire of vengeance which will overtake and ravish you. Look at what you've done. Took you long enough. We are stripped, naked, and nearly ruined as a nation now. Not that I care. Yep, ruined along with the world we polluted with the dainties of Sodom and Egypt. Our complicity with Egypt, which is also the world we have invited into our Christianity, has destroyed us. Our marketplaces crawl with deceit, graft, theft, greed, and murders. Multitudes now lose their minds, their labor, their prosperity, their very lives. And they fear and tremble as their deaf, dumb, and blind idols of wealth and goods are stolen from them, leaving them to languish in despair. Because they put another king before themselves. I'm talking about the called-out sinners putting another king before themselves, to be precise. It would be better that we continue on in our decadence and pride, forgetting God, than it is to bring his holy name into our empty worship of him. You know? When all else fails, hey, go to church, right? America, and you nations of this miserable earth, you eat with blood and lift up your eyes toward your idols and shed blood. And shall you possess the land? Shall you prosper? shall your prosperity return to you? Yeah, you're building backwards better. Look at your empty factories and your cursed fields. Half of us are drowning, half of us are burning. And this is only the beginning. You are losing everything, including your sanity, your families, your wealth, your homes, your lives. Look at the blood of the idols you worshipped, rapidly flowing out upon the floors of your hard hearts through your still grasping fingers. Pretty. Look at the refuse of the things you once held so dear, stolen, lying in pawn shops, in the collection agency's warehouse. What does it mean to you now? The drug of prosperity has worn off. Now the milk of insincerity causes us wretched blindness. The lying harlot we loved, and especially the Lord God of heaven and earth, they laugh at your calamity. Can't you hear him? Brethren, my burden is for the Lord and his saints. His business with you is his own. I have only to deliver this message from the edge of the abyss of hopelessness, but don't go there. I will not forsake my God or any of you, and don't you forsake your God. His elect will not forsake their God. But the sickest and most crushing heartbreak for God's elect is that they must watch the hordes of the stiff-necked ungodly and sinners careen past them and out over the edge of this abyss of judgment and destruction. The elect cannot block out the sights or sounds of hopelessness and despair. Not all of us can afford to live in a cave. The elect cannot stem the tide of judgment. We will give glory and thanks and praise to our loving and terrible God, even in his terrible wrath. For it is written that his elect do. And that is all we have been ordained to do. Live as Christ and glorify our God and Father through Christ. The Kingmaker has ordained that we now alive live in these savage times. Remember what God said to those with ears. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:9. Now, though the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, we gotta get there first, saints. That scripture is part of what Christ is going to establish when he returns. But right now, we follow Jesus Christ, through whom we have been called to God. We must endure reproach and suffering for his sake and for the sake of the truth, to the glory of God. It's a sore time now. A time I never wanted to see. I don't think that any of us in Christ ever wanted to see. Only them that sensationalize it are going to be in for a big surprise. Or they're not going to have the guts to hold on. Liars. Anyway, if we take joy and solace and comfort in seeing the wrath of God upon the earth and the world, and relish the pain and suffering inflicted upon the sinners of the camp and the harlot church and the rest of the world, well then, we do not follow the real Jesus Christ. Clue. Jesus wept. He did not rejoice when the fire came down upon his sinning, forgetful people. And we who are elect should not either. Kind of tough, isn't it? Well, chew on it. I leave you with a question. If there's to be some great revival in these last days, preceding the days which must be cut short because of the surety of the total destruction of the earth and all its inhabitants, why does Jesus wonder if he will find faith when he returns? Food for thought. Don't you think? Saints, I don't bite. Not too hard. If you're led to send me an email, mail@thenarrowway.net. Wow. In the meantime, you get your shields of faith up right under your nose. Walk with your Jesus like he did. He was a man of sorrows. Keep that in mind. Do keep to the road with him. Go in peace in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen.